Gracias.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir in this blessed masjid of Aminat School, Boso, here in Mina, Niger State. This Saturday, the 10th day of Ramadan, 1439 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. Inshallah, we'll continue from where we stopped. We're reading Surah Al-Imran. In Surah Al-Imran, we read up to the 172nd verse yesterday. And we saw in that after Uhud, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, shortly after Uhud, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam led the mu'minun to go after Abu Sufyan and his party. And alhamdulillah, they followed Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And then along the way, when they got close to where they expected at the Badr al-Sughra, each person they saw, they would ask him, where is Abu Sufyan and where are his people? And they would say that Abu Sufyan had actually run away because he was afraid after hearing that the mu'minun were coming for him, and so they had left the place, they were not there. When they got to Badr, which was a market that used to hold about 10 days in a year, they went there and saw that there was nobody. So what they saw in the market they took, because it means that they had defeated those people whom they actually had come to fight since they had run. And then what would have cost a dirham they sold for two, and so on. So they went back in peace without anything happening to them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that ayah, after he had said, after Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had talked about الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ استجابوا لله الذين استجابوا لله والرسول, those ones that answered the call of Allah and Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and followed Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam when he asked them to go, من بعد ما أصابهم القرح, after all the injuries that they sustained and during Uhud, they still didn't mind, they made the sacrifice and they went to the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ, right? وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Is that how it is? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those ones, those of them who أحسنوا, did well by obeying the command of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and answering his call and following him when he asked them to follow him despite all the inconveniences, wattaqaw, and then they feared sinning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't want to sin against Allah, so they obeyed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ajrun azim, ay lahum ajrun azim, those ones will have a great reward. The first reward they have seen, they were victorious here on earth, and in heaven, inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich them, even though they did not have the shahada. As long as they fought for the sake of Allah, they made their sacrifices, they obeyed Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, they definitely will have the reward that they deserve for obeying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So in the obedience of the Prophet, in following the Sunnah, there is a great reward for every Muslim. Some people are deceived by the fact that it is said that Sunnah is not compulsory, that what is fard is what is compulsory, and so if it's the Sunnah, you do some, you leave some. Because what they say all the time is, who can practice all the Sunnah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you no choice. If you obey the Prophet, you get a reward. If you do not obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be angry with you. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually never gives you a choice. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. So there is no choice that you have. So when you hear this is the Sunnah, you say, after all, who can abide by all of the Sunnah? Unless Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam tells you that this Sunnah is not compulsory, the Sunnah is compulsory. You must follow Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Unless he says, okay, in this thing you can practice it or you can leave it, it's all the same. It's not compulsory on you. Unless Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says that, the asl is that, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever he brings you, whatever he presents you, whatever he teaches you, whether he tells you or he practices it for you to see, it is compulsory that you hold on to that and you also emulate him. So when you follow the Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, you have a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you neglect the Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, then of course the opposite will follow. Allah will punish you with the punishment that you deserve. Iyadhan billah. So these Sahaba obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should also toe their line. No matter the inconveniences, we must always insist on abiding by the provisions of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he says,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفخه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين قال لهم الناس فاخشوهم فزادهم ايمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised a great reward, whom he says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah says, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَاخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are those who are, sorry, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. So Allah says, those ones are Alladhina qala lahum an-nas, those to whom the people said, Inna an-nasa qad jama'u lakum fakhshawhum. Those to whom the people said, because when they were going towards Al-Badr as-Sughra, there were some people that said to them, Wallahi, Abu Sufyan is there with his people. They are gathered and they are coming to attack you. So be careful. Before they finally met those who told them, no, they had run away. They were telling them, they are there waiting for you. They are coming for you, actually. You better fear them because they are more in number than you. People were telling them that on their way. And the Sahaba, these ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising, they said, instead of that to weaken them, it increased their iman. It increased their faith. Because they honestly wanted to fight. And so if you're going to fight and you are told that the person you're going to fight is even coming for you, if your desire for the fight is true, then of course you'll be encouraged by that. It's just like the boxer when he sees his opponent, he charges. Because it's what he's been waiting for and he's hungry to kill that one. Or the wrestler or whatever, all of those fighters. It's the same thing with the warrior. If you hear that your opponent is here, you are invigorated by that. And so, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, that increased their iman. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, they said, we don't care about their number. We don't care about their skills. We don't care about their manpower, anything. What we are concerned about is that we have come to fight for Allah's sake and Allah will suffice for us. So قَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ, they said, Allah is enough for us. Allah will suffice for us. وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and we are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our guardian. This kalima of حَسْبِ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ is one dhikr that the mu'min should keep constant as saying whenever you feel helpless, whenever you feel challenged, whenever you feel there's a situation ahead of you that may actually overcome you. If you are frightened by any situation, if you are moved by any situation, by the utterance of anybody, and you are tempted to fear, to be afraid of that person, you say this kalima, and inshallah ta'ala it will give you strength. Each time you say, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely stand for you if you are sincere, if you are honest, if you have taqwa. This kalima, inshallah ta'ala, will suffice for you. Or you say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Like it is said, that's the kalima that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said when he was thrown into the pit of fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was attacked by the people of Taif, he was alone with no helper. He said, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted him. The mu'minun on this day, when people were frightening them and telling them that those armies that were larger than yours were coming for you, they're armed, they're this, they're that, they said, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. And because of that iman of theirs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bearing witness to the fact that these people are truly mu'minun. These people have true iman. You see, this kalima confirms your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how terrible things get, you say, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. You mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, before any other thing. Before you begin to think of the things you can do to save yourself, before you begin to think of your war strategies or anything, first of all, tawakkal ala Allah. Put your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't call any name, don't say any word before you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah first. You say, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah will suffice for you. just like it happened in this case. So when they said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْقَلَبُوا نعم فَانْقَلَبُوا أي فَانْصَرَفُوا. Because they said حَسْبِي اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they came and they went back to where they came from with victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, they went back to their homes after going for that battle victorious. And that is the ni'mah min Allah. The ni'mah from Allah, the blessing and bounty from Allah is that they were victorious because Allah put fear in the hearts of their enemies as a result of the mentioning of Allah. Allah بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Whenever you find yourself in any such situation that you are afraid, mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will stand for you. Anytime you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there for you and you will find him a very good and a trustworthy companion. Subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. So, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَيْ بِعَافِيَةٍ لَمْ يَلْقَوْا عَدُوًا. Because they say that word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put fear in the minds of their enemies such that they ran away so that they were in safety. وَفَضْلٍ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also granted them an extra gain, profit, that is fadl, and that is what? تِجَارَةٍ وَرِبْحٍ وَهُوَ مَا أَصَابُوا فِي السُّوقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made their trade prosper because the things they went with, what you would have sold for 1 naira, 1 dirham, you sold for 2. They made a lot of profit. And then they also profited from the fact that all that was in the market became theirs because it became a booty since the enemies had run away and left them. So automatically the Muslims also had that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave him that. Gave them that as an extra bounty of his, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lam yamsashum su, no harm came to them. Ay lam yusibhum adha wala makruh, no harm and nothing that is detested happened to them at all. Wattaba'u ridwan Allah, and they followed the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fi ta'ati Allah wa ta'ati Rasulih, because they obeyed Allah and they obeyed the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, automatically they met the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want Allah to be pleased with you, if you have committed so many sins and you don't know whether Allah will forgive you, the simple way to earn Allah's forgiveness is to put the Quran and the Sunnah in practice. Try to put the Quran and Sunnah in practice. The injunctions of Allah, take them as they come and put them in practice as much as you can. Practice a lot of the Sunnah, read the Quran, seek its meaning, and try to abide by the provisions of whatever you read. Whatever the injunctions and the ayat you read are, try to put them in practice. That's how the Sahaba were. They were learning the Quran, they would learn a few verses, learn them properly, know how to recite them well. When they practice before their teacher and the teacher says, yes, your recitation is good, the next thing is they want to know the meanings of the verses. The next thing after that is they want to put the verses in practice. They want to put the injunctions contained in those verses in practice. So they are not like people who say, sami'na wa asayna. They are sami'na wa ata'na, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. So that's how they are. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow any harm to come to them, and no detested thing came to them. Wattaba'u ridwanullah, and then they followed and earned the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what? Fi ta'ati Allah, through obeying Allah, wa ta'ati Rasul, and obeying the Messenger صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وذلك أنهم قالوا and that happened because they said هل يكون هذا غزو فأعطاهم الله ثواب الغزو ورضي عنهم. Will this war be possible? Will this be a war? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gave them the reward of the battle even though they did not fight the battle. They did not get to fight a battle because the enemies had left, but Allah gave them the reward that you earn in a battle. That's one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them His pleasure. He was pleased with them. That's enough reward. And secondly, He gave them the booties that they did not even envisage. وَرَضِيَ عَنْهُمْ And He was pleased with them. وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Him, there are very great bounties and rewards. If you want to prosper, you want to be rich, you want tranquility, you want success, you want victory, you want this, you want that, you seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ If you want to ask, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to seek help, seek Allah's help. And insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah will suffice. Allah will be sufficient for you. Wallahu dhu fadlin azim. So Allah says, Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونَ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ That one, when people were telling you, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ When you were told that, that was the shaytan. That was the shaytan that was telling you that. Those people are gathered and they are plenty. They have weapons, they have this, they have that. It was the shaytan. ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَيَّعْنِي الَّذِي قَالَ لَكُمْ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ Right? That is the shaitan that was coming through those people that were telling you all of those things. It was the shaitan that was inspiring that. يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ أي يُخَوِّفُكُمْ بِأَوْلِيَائِهِ He is using those who have submitted to Him, those who believe in Him, those who follow His ways. He is using them to frighten you. And so you're talking to people, they're telling you this, they're telling you that, to dissuade you from doing good. It is the shaitan that is using them to tell you all of that. So once you have intended to do good, and somebody is saying, no, don't. Look at this, consider that, consider this, this and that. Then you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Insha'Allah ta'ala, he will depart from you. Huh? يخوف أولياء أي يخوفكم بأوليائه Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فلا تخافوهم So do not be afraid of them Do not be afraid of the people you are going to meet Because you've been frightened and told that they are prepared for you, do not be afraid of them. وَخَافُونِ Instead, be afraid of my punishment. فِي تَرْكِ أَمْرِ Be afraid that if you leave, if you decide not to obey me, the punishment that will come to you, be afraid of it. Huh? Aha. فإن لم تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة. I fear Allah who has that fire that he may use to punish you. Be afraid of the punishment of Allah, which is the hellfire. So be afraid of the punishment of Allah that will come to you if you refuse to obey Allah and His Messenger. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In kuntum mu'minin. If you are mu'minun, if you are truly believers in the punishment of Allah, then you must be afraid and then you must avoid it. Musaddiqina biwa'di. If you consider true my promise of punishing you if you do not obey me, if you believe in that, then obey Allah, fear Allah, and do not fear the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says,
إِنَّهُ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا.
نعم.
يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ.
الله says, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إنهم لن يضروا الله شيئا يريد الله ألا يجعل لهم حظا في الآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم. Allah says, ولا يحزنك. Do not get sad. Do not be saddened. وقرأ نافع يحزنك بضم الياء وكسر الزاي. ولا يحزنك. وَلَا يُحْزِنْكَ. Huh? Instead of وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ. And they all mean the same thing. وَلَا يُحْزِنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. If you say وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ, let it not make you sad. Let the affairs of those who disbelieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let their affairs not make you sad. Do not be sad as a result of that. That's wala yahzunka. Wala yuhzinka. Do not allow it to make you sad. So they all mean the same thing. Wala yahzunka wala yahzunka alladhina yusari'una fil kufr. Qala ad-Dhahhak. Hum kuffaru Quraysh. So alladhina yusari'una fil kufr. Those who are quick to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not allow their affairs to frighten you. And Dhahhak says these are kuffar, the kuffar of Quraysh. And other than Dhahhak would say, al-munafiqun, those hypocrites. Those hypocrites. They are the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. Do not allow their words or their actions to sadden you. Do not be sad as a result of that. Be patient. Be steadfast. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put your trust and hope in Him. And inshallah ta'ala, He will stand for you. Most of the time, the thing that discourages Muslims from practicing Islam properly is that they are afraid of what people will say. Or the things that people are saying are discouraging them. They are weakening them. They are allowing that to dissuade them from doing good. Because people say this, people say that, people say you are Bush, people say you are a terrorist. When you keep your beards properly, you raise your trousers to your shin and all that, people say you resemble a terrorist. And very soon you'll be arrested and questioned as a terrorist. Because you're afraid of that, you're also compromised. Do not allow such people to discourage you from doing anything it is that you're doing. Sometimes you want to abide by the sunnah, and the girls say, Wallahi, I will not marry anybody who is like that. And then because of that, you say, well, you know, somebody was asked, somebody was preparing to get married. It was a brother, mashallah, with the sunnah, with beard, in his trousers, to his chin and all that with his siwak every time. And then he got a girl who said, I like you, but this is your beard. Wallahi, I'm not comfortable with this your beard. If only you would shave it. And then after some time, people saw him and there was no beard. Said, Subhanallah, Ustaz, what happened? He said, Wallahi, one sunnah is greater than another. Say, Wallahi, one sunnah is greater than another sunnah. I want to do this sunnah, and because of that, I have to leave the sunnah of beard. So after some time, I'll put it back. What if Allah does not spare your life? And what tells you that that girl you want to marry will be khair for you? She might be the reason why you will dwell in Jahannam forever. You don't know? You haven't heard of women who made their husbands commit apostasy? The husband married them and at the end of the day he became a non-Muslim. I said, because of the wife he was marrying. What if she does that to you? She has destroyed you completely. And the fact that she is making you shave your beard is enough indication that you are going to hellfire if you marry this person, if you are not careful. Because it means she is going to dissuade you from the path of the sunnah. And you know if you do not follow the sunnah, you will follow the shaitan. Huh? So every time, do not be saddened by what unbelievers say, or what unbelievers do to you, or what the hypocrites do to you. Do not be saddened by that. Always be encouraged by the fact that the forgiveness of Allah awaits you. The bounties of Allah await you. And whatever you seek, if you obey Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. Allah will put you in the list of those that He has showered His blessings and mercies on, and that He is compassionate concerning them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you in their company. So what do you lose? You lose nothing. Whatever it is you ask of you ask from Allah, insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah will grant you a better one than what you asked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يُحْزِنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ or وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. In another chapter, I think Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, وَصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْكٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. So if you fear Allah and you stay with Him, Allah, if you are conscious of Allah, you obey Allah with piety, with sincerity, Allah will be with you. That is, He will help you. إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. So He will protect you. Whatever is said to you, Allah hears, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply the people who are talking to you. So don't worry about that. If they are hurting you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hurt them back. So allow Allah to defend you. Wasbir and be patient. Persevere. Wama sabruka. If you are patient, if you persevere, if you go on without being deterred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your reward will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala tahzan alayhim. And never be sad, never be saddened by what they do to you, because you have decided to stay on the path of Iman. Never allow that to discourage you. Look at Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. How long he existed without people believing in him. There were prophets of Allah that had no follower at all. Only the prophet would follow Allah till he dies. Nobody will be with him. There were prophets like that. There were some that had just two followers. Some only one. Some four or five. And so on. And yet they persevered. And they died as Muslims. So do not allow. Or sometimes you say, well, I'm the only one who has this view. The majority do not go with this view. So perhaps I'm wrong. Therefore, let me just compromise. Let me just go along with the people. This is failure already. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like people who are like this. So do not allow. Do not allow the majority to dissuade you. Do not allow what people say, the insults they rain upon you, do not allow them to deter you from following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from abiding by the words of Allah. Look at Nabiyyu Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at Nabiyyu Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at such people. Look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at Nabiyyu Isa. They even threatened to kill him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him to himself. And he shall come back, insha'Allah ta'ala. When it's time, he shall come back. So look at all those ones. They went through trials, but they weren't deterred. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all that they do, their kufr and their insistence on being kuffar, their obstinacy in kufr, will not hurt Allah at all. So Allah will not deter from the victory He wants to grant you as a result of what they're doing. And whatever they're doing will not disturb the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has said that this deen will be victorious, that this deen will be victorious, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. The fact that these kuffar are now frightening you, look at the world today. The superpowers of the world are unbelievers. They are kuffar. And they hate Islam. And their hatred for Islam is clear. You can see America and what their president is doing now to Muslims. He is trying by all means to hurt the Muslims, so that you go into war with him and he would destroy all of you. In his foolishness, he believes that he has enough weapons to destroy all the Muslims on earth, so that there will no longer be Islam. Because this provocation is all about that. He's going now to move their embassy from Tel Aviv to Darussalam. Darussalam, the one they call Jerusalem. It's Darussalam. Because he knows how Muslims will be hurt by that. Even some non-Muslims are showing their anger with him over this. And yet he is continuing in his obstinacy. So Allah says this, their obstinacy will not hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning it will not hurt the deen of Allah. So do not be discouraged by that. Do not be weakened by that. Remain strong. Remain hopeful. Remain agile. And know that inna wa'ada Allahi haqq. The promise of Allah is true. You only will not see that if you are not patient. If your faith is not strong, you will not see that. If not, it's very clear. The promise of Allah is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised Nabi Nuh, and it came to pass. Allah promised Nabi Ibrahim, and it came to pass. Look, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time that they were weak, they had nothing, he was saying that Islam would not only prosper in Arabia, but that it would prosper in the world. It will get to this, it will get to that. And some people were discouraged by that. They said, look at this man. When difficulty is facing us here, you are already talking of the whole of the world. When we cannot even defeat the kuffar yet, of Makkah yet. Because those ones do not have faith in Allah. But Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam had faith. Even though he was losing at home, even though he was suffering at home, he said Islam would prosper in the whole of the world. It will conquer. And those who had no faith could not understand that. That is how the faith of the Muslim is supposed to move. You don't get deterred by what is happening today. The promise that you know is coming tomorrow should keep you going. No matter what happens, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised and it will come to pass. So do not be deterred by all the things that the kuffar are doing today against the Muslims and Islam. Where are we? Yeah? What? فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. So no harm came to the Muslims when they believed him. وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. Is that where we are? We finished that. Where are we? إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ. Okay. وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Right? إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. What Allah wants is that these ones are already doomed. Those kuffar, those particular kuffar, they are already doomed. And Allah is preparing Jahannam for them. So in this world, He's preparing total disgrace for them. Because if they embrace Islam, nobody will fight them again. If they stop hurting Muslims, nobody will hurt them again. Because in the first place, the Muslims did not start. The Muslims did not start the aggression. They are the aggressors. So the Muslims are also only defending themselves. So if they were to stop hurting the Muslims, nobody would touch them again. But Allah wants to destroy them because of the kufr in them, because of their obstinacy in sin, because of the damage that they were intending to do to Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to completely destroy them. And the only way He can do it is to make them continue to provoke Muslims until we get to the wall and push back. And then inshallah, we shall be better prepared to destroy them once and for all. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring total disgrace to them. They know, even from the predictions of Nostradamus, that their destroyer will come from the Middle East and that he will be a Muslim, and they are not happy with that. So in their foolishness, they believe they can just destroy Islam and Muslims and that's all. Everything will be finished. Because you know, the atheists today, they are already saying their aim is that in a short while there will be no Islam on earth. The greatest enemies we have on earth today are the atheists, those who say there is no Allah. They are grouping, they are making serious efforts to annihilate Islam. The threat to them is Islam. They are not afraid of any religion except Islam. They know Christianity has already melted under Western civilization. They know the Hindus, those lamas of the Buddhists and so on, those ones, they are finished. Because those ones are like people in caves. Those ones are just monks who can't reproduce, so they are dying. The old ones amongst them are dying, and the new ones are no longer embracing their religion. So those ones are dying. Those ones are getting annihilated. Those ones are finishing. They are going extinct, so they are not threatened by those ones. All other religions, they mostly remain in their places of worship. Outside their places of worship, they compromise. When they go to the office, they don't carry their religion there. When they are in politics, they don't carry their religion there. When they are leaders, they use the constitution. They don't use their book. So their religion is going extinct. The only religion that remains a threat to the world is Islam. Most of the leaders of America are atheists. Most of the leaders of Germans are atheists. Most of the leaders of the Japanese are atheists. Of the Chinese are atheists. They don't believe in Allah. Even when they pretend they do, wallahi, they don't. That is why everything that Allah destroyed a people for, they are embracing all of that now. They say, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. They say women should be allowed to go without headscarf on their heads. And they're even discouraging women from wearing headscarves. They're discouraging women from wearing hijab, even headscarves, let alone hijab. A country like Turkey, that is about 98% Muslim, that country has women, Muslim women, coming out to the office, to the world, to appear on TV without even a headscarf. You see their women, you can't differentiate them from kuffar. They're already winning in those places, and so they're deceived by that. Most of these people are atheists in their minds, and the threat to them is Islam, because Islam is that religion that you carry even to the toilet. More than 100 years ago, Winston Churchill brought out the Quran to the parliament and said, you see this book, as long as this book continues to exist, the West will not defeat the East. So today the efforts will be to destroy the Quran so it no longer exists. How can you do that? It's to destroy the people who are carriers of the Islam themselves. To destroy your aqidah. To destroy your manhaj. To deprive you of everything Islam. Nothing else that is the Islamic system will remain with you. We now have Muslims who say there is no difference between Christian and Muslim. They are all the same. They are all the same. They, the Jews, whatever, they are all the same. Humanity is more important than religion. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Islam, created his deen before he created human beings. Because the malaika are Muslims and they were there before human beings were created. So what is the talk of humanity being more important than religion? But that's what they want to see. Do not be discouraged by all of that. If only one Muslim would remain on earth, he would still be a threat to the whole of the kuffar in the world. There is only one country in the world today that is practicing the Sharia, and all the kuffar of the world are worried about that one country. And they are not up to 30 million people. Yet, they are not satisfied. All the countries in the world, there is no country that is practicing Islam 100% except that country. Even that country now, we are not too satisfied with the Islam that their leaders are practicing. But at least they are better than the rest, because it remains the only country in which there is a Sharia, and they are still worried about that one country. The rest of the countries are what? They are secularist. Yet they are not satisfied. يُرِيدُونَ لَيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. The only way that can happen is through you and me. These mu'minun here, those 70 people that bore all the threats, that defied all the threats and said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. It is through people like you and me that insha'Allah ta'ala, that Islam will remain, the flag will remain flying. Even if we are killed, our words cannot be killed. Our strives cannot be killed. Our efforts cannot be killed. Whether you are killed or not, my brother, you will die. قُلْ إِنَّ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي تَفِرُّونَ مِنْهُ وَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. So whether you are killed or not, you will die. So why are you afraid of death? It is sure it will come at the time that it's appointed. So the fear of death is stupidity. If you are afraid of dying while helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're wasting your time, because you must die. So why not prepare to die doing the right thing? Defending your deen, always mentioning your deen. But you find Muslims today, you see some Muslims, you don't even know what religion they belong to. You have to ask. And you are afraid that if you ask, the person will be angry. So you come to him, you are reluctant to say salam, because he doesn't look like a Muslim. There's nothing about you that reminds about him, you see, that tells you he's a Muslim. Nothing about him reminds you of Islam. It shouldn't be so. His utterances all the time, when they write articles, it is about humanity, it's about democracy, it's about this, it's about that. They never write about the rights of Islam, the rights of Muslims, the oppression of the Muslims, the this, the sunnah, the tawheed, the aqidah. They don't write about all of that. Their concern is just the dunya. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. It's better that you fight for the akhirah. So do not allow what the kuffar do to discourage you at all. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. What Allah wants is that He wants to deprive them of any excuse so that they will have nothing on the day of resurrection that will work for them except against them. أي نصيباً في ثواب الآخرة. Allah does not want them to have any reward on the day of resurrection. That means they will not die as Muslims. They will die as kuffar through your hands. فَذَلِكَ خَذَلُهُمْ خَذَلَهُمْ حَتَّى سَارَعُوا فِي الْكُفْرِ. And that is what actually deprived them of any chance of embracing Islam. And then they are every day increasing in their kufr. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah has prepared for them a great torment. So when you see some people not hearkening to your call, don't be discouraged. It might be because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed that these ones, they are finished. That might be the reason. So whatever effort you make will not yield any result. Don't be concerned about that. Don't worry about that. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. It's not your duty. It's not binding on you that they must become guided. You can't even guarantee their guidance. All you can do is to show them the way. Imma shakiran wa imma kafura. That's what Allah says also. Inna hadaynahu sabil. Imma shakiran wa imma kafura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown man the way. This is the truth and this is the lie. It remains for you to choose which one you want. So once you have preached to the people, you leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you see a people obstinate in sin like that, then it might be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that these ones will never have guidance. These ones will never have salvation. You see the likes of Abu Lahab, those ones have been condemned from this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to some people, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. Any kafir that has to be said to, especially those ones that Allah said that to, they had no hadd in Akhirah. It means those ones, Islam is not for them. So they should leave Muslims to practice theirs, and they practice theirs. It's terrible for any kafir if he's told that. It might be an indication that you never have the chance of repenting. Iyadhan billah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the plan that Allah has for them. That is why they are continuing to do all those things they are doing. Wallahu dhu fadlin azim. Where is it? وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Right? وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And for them is a great torment, punishment on the day of resurrection. May we not be amongst those. Do we still have time? 3 minutes. No, we can't. Okay, go ahead. I think we can take this.
إن الذين اشتروا الكفر بالإيمان لن يضروا الله شيئا ولهم عذاب أليم.
الله says إن الذين اشتروا الكفر بالإيمان لن يضروا الله شيئا ولهم عذاب أليم. Allah says those who have sold their iman for kufr, that is those who have replaced, in place of iman, they replaced it with kufr because they prefer the pleasures of kufr. You know, the ways to Jahannam are sweeter on earth than the way to Al-Jannah. The ways to Al-Jannah have a lot of sacrifices. So they prefer the way of kufr because of the pleasures on them, on those roads. So those who have replaced their iman with kufr and decided that they prefer the pleasures of this world to the pleasures of the Akhirah, لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. their insistence of being kuffar, their insistence on being kuffar, their obstinacy in kufr will not hurt Allah in anything. وَإِنَّمَا يَضُرُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ They are only harming themselves. They can't harm the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And on the day of resurrection, this is the painful torment. So do not be deterred by that. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll start from, insha'Allah, from the verse 178, and that is, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا Huh? Insha'Allah. Hopefully we shall finish Ali Imran this year. Hopefully, inshallah. Naam. Yeah? Hausa is not for this class. This is an English class. Ko? Naam. This one says, some so-called jihadists often kill people and quote as evidence the hadith 8 of Arba'un al-Nawawiyah, which states that the Prophet ﷺ says, I was commanded to fight the people until they testify that no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this hadith authentic? Yes, it is. If yes, could you please quote the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has truly commanded his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam to fight people until they proclaim shahada? I don't have it. This one, umirtu an uqatil an-nasa. This hadith, perhaps I should start by reminding you of the fact that this hadith was reported by one of the sahaba. Can you remember who? Huh? Can you remember who reported this hadith? Huh? Abdullah ibn Umar? One says Ibn Abbas, one says Ibn Umar. Maybe another one says Ibn Mas'ud. Huh? Which one is it? Which Sahabi reported this hadith? Abdullah ibn Umar? Abbas, you are sure? Huh? So, Umar ibn Khattab knew about this hadith, didn't he? Huh? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he knew about this hadith, didn't he? Huh? Did he? Good. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the Sahaba, they knew about this hadith. That Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to fight the people until they say La ilaha illallah. Yet, the Prophet who said this, until he died, there were unbelievers whom he was interacting with. So how come he didn't kill those? Huh? How come he did not kill those? If he was asked to kill everybody until everybody embraces Islam. And the Quran says, La ikraha fid deen. No, there is no compulsion. You don't force anybody to practice the deen. Because the deen has to come with niyyah. Innama al-a'malu bin niyyat. It's your intention that will fetch you the reward. If you pray just so that people will not kill you, you don't have the reward. So in Islam, there is nothing like forcing somebody to embrace Islam. Because Islam is istislam. It is submission of your volition. If you are forced to embrace Islam and you say it with your mouth, you are not a Muslim. And then Islam does not allow us to force people to embrace Islam. So Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, Umirtu an uqatil an-nasa. An-nasa. Those people, a people. I have been commanded to fight a people. If they do not stop what they are doing against the Muslims, we will fight them unless they are Muslims. If they are Muslims, there will be no fighting them again. If they are not Muslims and they are oppressing the Muslims, we have been commanded to fight them. Because Allah says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given permission to those who are being fought and killed because they have been oppressed. So you don't kill somebody because the person refused to embrace Islam. You take a territory and make it Islamic, but you don't kill somebody simply because the person has refused to embrace Islam. Because if he embraces Islam because you want to kill him, he's not a Muslim. And so he's saying La ilaha illallah will not be of any benefit to you. What you do when you present Islam is that you call people to Islam, you convince them, you don't force them. That hadith is not saying that every Muslim must take a sword and kill every non-Muslim until the person embraces Islam. Look, our Sharia is saying it is permissible to marry a non-Muslim who is a Jew or a Christian. You are permitted to marry the same person you should kill. Huh? And you have children with her. And then it is said that if she is married to you, that if you have sexual intercourse with her, she should not take ghusl janaba, because ghusl janaba is an act of iman, it's an act of ibadah, and it's not binding on a non-Muslim, because even if she does it, she will not be rewarded. So ghusl janaba is not binding on her. So it's only you that will take ghusl janaba, she will not, because she's not a believer. And yet you are saying that we're supposed to kill everybody until they embrace Islam. So what do you do about your wife who is not a Muslim and whom you must be kind to, and then you must not even tell her to practice any act of Islam as long as she's not yet a Muslim and she can remain your wife? It's permissible to marry her. It's permissible to eat their food. And yet you say you must kill all of them. The hadith is not saying kill all of them until they embrace Islam. The hadith is talking about those that were permitted to fight. Meaning that Muslims should not fight fellow Muslims. It's only non-Muslims who are oppressing us that were permitted to fight. If they embrace Islam, there is no more fight between us. That is, if they stop oppressing the Muslims and they embrace Islam, there is no more fight between us. If they are not Muslims, but they are not embracing, oppressing Muslims, there is no fight between us. There will be Ahlul Zimma, and then it will not be permissible to kill them. That's why Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was very angry when a non-Muslim woman was killed by that blind Muslim Sahabi. He was very angry when he heard that. He said, how can you do that when there is an agreement between us and them? So if you say you are following that hadith, you do not even understand the hadith. And how can you take one hadith without joining it with others to understand fully what the hadith means? It's not right to do that. Wallahu ta'ala alam. This one says, I would like to know the meaning of a dream. I don't interpret dreams. I don't know the interpretation of dreams. Where is you? So this one says, how do we elongate our sujood to make dua in salat, since dua in sujood is likely to be accepted as we are closer to Allah during that? You don't have to really elongate it. Huh? Use the dua of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the adhkar that he used in sujood. You can't say anything that will fetch you more reward than that, that will get you closer to Allah than that. You can't. There's nothing you can say which will be more rewarding than that, and which will get you closer to Allah than that. So just be contented with what he used to say. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. If you do that, there is nothing you will say that will get you closer to Allah than that. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Or you say, Allahumma ghfir li zambi kulla. وَدِقَّهُ وَجِلَّهُ وَأَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ وَعَلَانِيَتَهُ وَسِرَّهُ. There's nothing you can say that will get you closer to Allah than that. Nothing. Or you say, سُبُّوحًا قُدُّوسٌ رَبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْرُوحِ. Or you say, اللهم إني أعوذ برضاك من سخطك وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك وأعوذ بك منك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. If you use any of these, nothing will get you closer to Allah in your sujood than those. Be contented with those. If you like, you can add. You can seek forgiveness for your parents. You can do this, you can do that. You do it in each sujood. You don't choose a particular sujood and say, I will do it only in this one. No. I hope I've answered the question. This one says, what's the Sharia ruling concerning niqab and a Muslimah who is only wearing the khimar without covering her face? Well, if you do not cover her face, your face, it will suffice. As long as it's just your face and your palms and you're not wearing makeup on that face, you just leave the face as it is. No makeups, no lipsticks, nothing. No eyelashes. If you leave those as they are, you just have your bath and come out, inshallah ta'ala, it's okay. But if you use the niqab, it's better. If you use the niqab, it's better. If you don't use the niqab, inshallah ta'ala, there is no sin on you. This one says, he woke up this morning with a cough that made him feel something around his throat while he's fasting. What did you feel around your throat? Maybe phlegm. Maybe phlegm went down his throat. There's nothing wrong with that. Inshallah, that will not vitiate your fast. Huh? Inshallah. This one says, may Allah forgive my mistakes and reward my good deeds. Ameen. He said in 1436, that's 3 years ago, I mentioned a Sahabi being nicknamed Ibn al-Islam. Why and what was his real name? Salman al-Farisi. Huh? He's called Ibn al-Islam because nobody knew his parents. Huh? Nobody knew his parents. Nobody knew anybody of his. He had to even tell his story. Abdullah ibn Abbas asked him one day, I find your life amazing, and I want to know what you've gone through. So actually, tell me about yourself. And then he told him. If not, nobody knew where he was from. That was a man that they said lived for 275 years or so, or 250 something years. I've heard an alim mention that. I'm not very sure about his source, but I trust the person who was mentioning that. But this is not really confirmed. And then I'm not actually doubting it too, because I know the person could not just have said it like that without reading it. It is said that he lived for over 200 years, but that he was looking like a 50-year-old person. So the Sahaba saw his strength. He had tremendous strength. And yet he was not such a big person. He wasn't huge. He was in fact smallish, but he was very strong. And so there were amazing things about him, and he was a very serious person about Islam. Almost everybody that came to Medina after the Hijrah knew when he embraced Islam. He wasn't amongst the Sabiqun al-Awwalun, but then his Islam and the way he got close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a short while, attracted attention to him, and people wanted to know about him. And so, anyway, because nobody knew him, they named him the son of Islam. They didn't know his father, they didn't know his mother, but at least Islam became his father, became his mother. And so they named him Ibn al-Islam. This one says he made two rakat of Salatul Asr. As he was making up for the remaining two rakat, can another person who did not get any of the rakat join him? Yes, you can. He can. Inshallah. As long as you're praying and you're alone, anybody who comes will join you. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. He has seen you performing salah and he has joined you. There's nothing wrong with that. So you do not begin to say, Even if he says it, don't mind him. Just leave him alone. So this one says, what is the Islamic ruling on a Muslim and a Muslima engaged in mut'a marriage? The one the Shiites do. That's not marriage. That is zina. Don't call it marriage again. Mut'a is zina. It is not marriage. It's been outlawed. It's forbidden by Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's not permissible any longer. This one says he's single and a man. A man is inviting him to his house to break his fast. He wants to stop going because he's shy and is thinking that, is this a girl? Okay, she is single and a married man has been inviting her to his house, I think. Maybe this is a sister. And she doesn't like to be going to his house. If you are a girl, it is haram for you to be going to his house like that along with him. Because you shouldn't be getting that close to him. If he wants to marry you and you like him, let him go to your parents. But this relationship you are having is haram. You shouldn't be getting that close to each other. But if you are a boy and the man is inviting you to break your fast in his house, if you don't feel like going, don't go. Perhaps because you are thinking that you are now becoming a burden on him, he's feeding you every day and so on. If you're feeling so, avoid him. But if he doesn't mind, and you also need the food, perhaps because you don't have any other, you can be going. It's halal in Islam. There's no problem with it. But if you think he's going to use that to intimidate you, or perhaps ask you to do something against Islam, then stop going to him. But before he makes any such attempt, you just take it that he's being kind, and you can go every time and answer his call. If you want to stop going, there's no problem with that also. So it's left to you. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا بها جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا وبدما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا